Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, 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 guys. Welcome back to the Moms Talk Autism podcast. Today, we have a special guest. So, stay tuned. We will be back.
When you become a mom, you never imagine your child getting an autism diagnosis. It feels like your dreams have shattered, like a framed photograph falling off your mantle, exploding into a thousand pieces. But instead of trying to glue those pieces back together, this community of moms is here to help you build a new dream, a better one. So join in the conversation as us moms talk autism.
All right, guys. Hello. Okay. Everybody say hello to the incredible Renee Ingalls. If you don't know who that is, we are going to tell you. She is an amazing mom, net baller. Is that what I call it? Net baller, which would be similar to basketball here in the U.S. She is a mother to a autistic boy. She is the wife to a basketball player here in the United States, playing for the Milwaukee Bucks. And she is one of the board members of the incredible Culture City. Renee, hello.
Hi, I was actually going to start with a joke while you were talking there and say, g'day, mate. But then I thought, no, I won't do it. The Aussie jokes are fast coming.
And Renee is from Australia, if y'all could not hear that yet.
Well, no. You also didn't know that that's an Australian sport as well. So when you said you played netball, I was like, okay, I don't need to ask her where she's from. I didn't need any clarification. I got it.
Oh, you knew. Okay. Yeah. I had to ask Renee beforehand. I was like, assumed it was basketball because, you know, Joe plays basketball and you're really tall. Mm-hmm. I'm like, never even heard of this.
It's not the same thing.
Yes.
It's It is not the same thing. It is similar. And it's actually the highest participation female sport in Australia, and it's actually all of the Commonwealth countries that play it. So we have a World Championships and a Commonwealth Games. And I have always said to anyone that as soon as the United States really get onto the netball thing, I think we're going to have a bit of trouble in terms of competition because you would be very good at it.
Interesting. I love it. That is so, I had no idea. Very, very, very cool.
Do you know how I knew about that? It's so
random. I do want to know.
My daughter is like an obsessive gymnast at her young age of 7. And so we watch every gymnast show there is. And there was a series where a girl's parents got divorced and the mom moved to Australia, and she ends up going to an Australia private school. And the friends that she make were like, oh, no, I'm going to take you to the netball game. And she's like, what is that? And it was like kind of the same response that Josh had. And she was like, you'll see. And it was like totally normal. And I was like, oh, okay, I get this. All right, this is different. That's so cool.
I like it.
So now I've actually met a real netballer. I can't wait to tell McKenna later.
Well, welcome, 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 Renee. We are very excited to have you on. You as an individual, your family, but then also you as a representative for Culture City, who is such an incredible nonprofit organization who is going worldwide. Am I correct on that? Worldwide, in creating sensory inclusion in everything.
Every
everywhere, everything, super amazing. So why don't you start out by just giving us a little backstory on Renee, Joe, and the kiddos?
Yes. Well, honestly, I really appreciate coming on the podcast this morning because, one, I love talking to other mums. Two, I love talking to other mums that understand this autism and challenges space. Mm-hmm. So I love talking about to other mums about autism. I love anything to do with Culture City and sensory accessibility and inclusion. So what a wonderful way to spend my day chatting to you. So thank you for having me on. In terms of our story, yes, we are, Joe and I are both from Australia. We have lived in the United States now for coming up to 9 years. 8 of those years have been spent in Salt Lake City, and we spent about 5 years in Europe before that with Joe's career. We have 3 beautiful children, 6.5-year-old twins and a 2-year-old, and 2 boys and a girl. Our twins are Jacob and Miller, and then our youngest one is Jack. And it's Jacob, who I say is my oldest child because he's 3 minutes older than Miller, was diagnosed on the spectrum and also with a sensory processing disorder when he was 2.5 years old. Okay. So that kind of, I guess you could say, 4 years ago started our journey with autism and living with an invisible disability in the house. I think that we always knew what autism was, knew individuals who had autism, but I don't think we really understood the full scope of what that actually meant in terms of our lives and logistics and how much good autism would bring to our family and the greater community as well. So we joined the Culture City board 3 years ago, and the growth that Culture City has had and that our family have had in the autism space is something that we are really passionate about, really excited by, and there's always more great work to be done. So we really love what we do. We are based, yes, here now in Milwaukee, but have also started, we've literally announced it about a month ago, that I'm now the executive director of Culture City Australia. So like you said, we are going worldwide, bigger and better, and very excited for what we can do in that space as well.
Yeah, super, super incredible. So to talk a little bit about Jacob, if that's okay. Yeah. You said he was diagnosed at 2. Were you, you know, as parents, it's kind of easy for us to say as special needs parents and being further along in our journeys that we all kind of knew, right? You kind of had these feelings, especially, you know, you're watching twins, right? This little boy and this little girl who we would expect to be kind of developing at the same time and doing the same things. Was there a difference in that for you with the 2 kiddos? Were they?
Yeah, I think for us, it was an interesting time because Jacob actually hit each and every physical milestone first, ahead of Miller. And really, it was when they just turned 2 that we really started noticing some differences. I think me in particular, because Joe was traveling a lot and I was obviously a stay-at-home mum with the twins and having more time with them. And I can honestly say in the beginning, from when they were around 2, the doctors, my family, our friends were all certain that there was absolutely nothing wrong and that the advice that I kept getting was not to compare the twins. One, because you shouldn't compare 2 children and their milestones anyway, but mostly because Jacob and Miller were different genders and you should never compare a boy to a girl and their development and they're your first kids and everything's okay. But I just feel like in my gut, whilst I was comparing a male and a female, there were significant differences that I wasn't ready to ignore, and Joe really felt the same way. In particular for us, and I know he was very young, he was only 2, but in terms of in social settings, I used to take them to a little playgroup once a week and I would take them down there and Miller would be all in the action, playing with the bubbles, doing the art, singing the songs, watching the puppets with the entire group and with the teacher, and Jacob would be down the other end playing with the train on his own. And really had no awareness or no want to go and join the group, which is fine. It's a two-year-old and not into that. That's fine. And then he started lining up all of his cars, color coding things, whilst Miller was giving us eye contact, making lots of sounds and noises and starting that speech development. Jacob really had plateaued and wasn't doing any of that. There was really no eye contact or any of those sorts of things happening. So I actually changed our pediatrician and went and sat with a new pediatrician and just explained all of the things that I was feeling. And she was wonderful, especially in those first couple of years of Jacob's autism journey, because she said to me, we've always got to trust a mother's gut instinct, and let's do this process of getting him assessed. And you can always come to the end of an assessment and find out that it wasn't necessary and you didn't need to do that, but let's do this in case there's something that we don't want to miss, and that especially if you're feeling this way, early intervention with autism is so important. So let's go down this way, even if it just is to give you peace of mind. And as you would know, the autism diagnosis process is not an easy one. It's not one appointment and you tick a box and walk away with a diagnosis. It was quite a long and lengthy process for us over about 6 months, particularly because he was so young as well. And within that 6 months, we started speech therapy and occupational therapy even before we had the diagnosis. And both his OT and his speech had indicated that they thought that maybe we were on the right train of thought. However, on January 8th, 2019, when we actually sat in the doctor's office for our last part of the assessment with a psychologist, Joe and I were giving each other air high fives and, like, you know, raising our eyebrows across the room to each other going, wow, Jacob's come a long way. Like, he's doing really well today. This is awesome. Like, high fives. And at the end of the appointment, when she sat us down and looked at us and said, yes, you're absolutely right, Jacob is on the spectrum and also has a sensory processing disorder, we were shocked. And I'm not sure why we were shocked, because we'd been on this journey for 6 to 8 months, right? However, we've always lived with Jacob and autism. So it's not like diagnosis day. Everything didn't change for us. He didn't wake up with autism that day. However, what that day did do for us, whilst those first 2 weeks for me were incredibly overwhelming, what that did for us was it opened the door to resources, understanding, and interventions that Jacob was now able to get. So I say that that day now is one of my favorite days, because it really opened our eyes to this whole new world that was about to come at us.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's incredible to, you know, like you were saying, we've all maybe had a little bit of that intuition, or some of us, one of the parents, right? And to finally have it be, you know, set in stone, but it still is this whole new thing, you know, this whole new wake up, like, oh, okay, yes, this is really happening. Jean knows this, but in our house, we celebrate Jack's autism diagnosis day. We call it his autism birthday. And so every year, and it happens to be in Autism Acceptance Month, which I always think is just, you know, the universe just lines things up. But it is that, you know, solidifying and okay, there is something, but it is what opens up all those doors, correct? You know, of just the help you can get, the support you can get. And
yeah, I do ahead. Say that with a grain of salt, though, because what I would say is that whilst we walked away that day with, you know, a manila folder full of resources in my hand and a diagnosis on a sheet, which meant that we could start talking to insurance and talking to therapy companies and all of this sort of stuff, I didn't realize how hard the process is for all of that and how much of a varying difference there is. Regardless, the diagnosis itself doesn't matter that much. Each state's so different, each therapy center's so different, each insurance company works so differently. And then the wait lists.
Yeah.
The wait lists to get your child into the therapy that you need. Like, it was drilled into us that early intervention is so incredibly important for Jacob's, I put in quotation marks, more mainstream or normal upbringing, I guess you could say, was it was imperative that he got into early intervention. And this was at 2.5. And the more early intervention that he got into him before 4, the supposed better his outcomes would be. So then you start calling companies to try and get him ABA therapy, speech therapy, occupational therapy, and they say that it's an 18-month wait to get an appointment. And that's where, honestly, the true stress and overwhelming feeling of having a diagnosis really set in for me and for us as a family, and really where our journey started. And really now I wish I'd had the understandings of companies and charities and the people that I work with now at Culture City, because I feel like that was a resource or someone to ask questions of, because that first probably couple of months after the diagnosis felt really overwhelming and really lonely, because I just wanted someone else to understand what I was going through.
It's that peer-to-peer support. And that's mm-hmm. what we talk about commonly on the podcast and then through various channels of my own, you know, other advocacy that I do myself as well. It's so essential. And it just affirms what we also reflect upon, is that we think it's the other side of hurry up and wait. So you're on the mm-hmm. one side of hurry up and wait when you have the practitioners not wanting to listen to your cares, or someone is trying to, you know, I had that same experience too, which is what then kept me kind of in denial for a long time, is that people were saying, you know, no, he's hitting all his physical milestones. He's fine. He's just a late talker, you know, and it was like, let's just wait and see. And then you arrive, you get what you think is the key to the castle here, you know, that the doors will open up, but then you learn how limited the accessibility is. What is life changing is the distribution of time and energy. The diagnosis is one thing. The other part of it is all of the things in your life, and how you manage your time completely changes, and your priorities, because they're so hyper focused on that. And then it kind of feels, I always express it as like you're in this like sprint, like, oh, got to get this all done under 4. You know, in mm-hmm. my case, my son didn't get his diagnosis till 3.5. So I even felt, I'm like, I got 6 months to get all this lined up, you know?
Yeah.
Like you total crazy overdrive. And so everything that you're saying, I 100% relate mm-hmm. to, and why we created this own platform for ourselves was because we all felt very alone, and it was hard to find your people, and knowing how essential that is for our mental health walking through this.
Yeah.
Even if we knew like things to do, you know, it's still not the same, you know, having that, that shared understanding is super hypercritical.
Mm-hmm. One of the most asked questions that I get from people, one that are waiting or hoping for a diagnosis or have just got a diagnosis or a year into the journey, is what's the best resource I could read? What's the best book that I could buy? What's the best podcast that I could listen to? All of that. What's the best thing that could educate me? And the one thing I always say is find your people, and find your people that, one, have been through this, two, are going through this, or are on the same journey or timeline as you are, because no book, no resource, nothing that I have read or been given has ever meant as much to me as it has sitting down with another parent or another person that actually understands the daily struggle of what I go through and have been through all steps of that way.
Well, just so you know, you're giving that gift right now on this episode in an amplified manner, because you don't know how many, if you go on our reviews, that is one of the primary comments is, I feel like I'm sitting with my best friends. I feel like I found my people. And even though it's like kind of, you know, once removed, there is a huge impact with that. So you're taking that common thing that you were running into and amplifying that here and sharing that so much more. And we're so grateful for that.
Like
More of that.
No, and mums like me are grateful for what you're doing on the podcast, because you know, that's what I did. I jumped on Google because I didn't know other people that were going through what I have gone through or was going through at the time. Or I was Googling, what is autism? What is it like to live with autism? What are the outcomes? It's all of those unknowns and the questions that don't necessarily have answers, or definitely don't necessarily have answers now, because I think I'm at a time in my life, and I think the both of you would understand that my son Jacob is still only 6. So he's still in ABA therapy, has been for 4 years now. But what I worry about is the future. What does that look like? I can keep him safe under my roof. I can keep him in the therapies and the earlier interventions at this age. But what about when he's 10? What about when he's 12? What about when he's in high school or wanting to apply for a college? Or what if none of that works out? It's all of the questions that I don't have answers to, that sitting around with people like yourselves and listening to wonderful podcasts like this that you are doing, that gives you that sense of it's okay not to know everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. You've said about 25 things that we've talked about in different,
episodes. I wanted to do like straight. I was like, okay, we got an episode on that. I got an episode on that. All of those things you're talking about. And we have tiered, you know, I think Shannon has the youngest. Me and Tosh, our boys are the same age. And Ruby's the same age as the boys. And then because Brittany has 2, and then she has the oldest. She has the 16-year-old. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we got a nice little lifespan happening over here.
Well, and Renee, the beautiful thing about this is that everything that you're saying is exactly what mm-hmm. our audience has said, you know, and so to hear that from somebody else, to hear that from you know, somebody from a completely different background. You know, we all, though different journeys, it's very similar, right? And we all have the same concerns and sometimes the same struggles. So,
well, yes. And I will add to that. Okay. And yeah. I need to say this in, no, I'm not going to try and say it in a politically correct way. I'm just going to say it in the way that I
yes.
feel.
Go so ahead.
So I'm safe space, right? Safe space.
Yes.
Correct.
No, I just think that what Joe and I do and the work that we try to do in the autism community, just in the community for inclusivity and the sensory accessibility space, is what we try and do is really use our platform for good. Because I think that when people look at us and look at Joe's job and that I'm an NBA wife and a stay-at-home mum that has connections through Culture City, that fixes my problems. But my day-to-day logistics, my day-to-day struggles, my day-to-day worries, my worries when I put my head on the pillow at night and worry about Jacob and his siblings and all of those things are exactly the same that everyone else is dealing with as well. And I think that it's important, one, for me to be able to connect with the people, everyone, you, whoever they are, wherever they are, but also for those people to know that they can connect and understand and be on the same level as Joe and I, who financially maybe we don't have the struggles that other people have, which just makes me want to bleed more money into this space. Mm-hmm. But whilst we may tick some boxes in terms of having some resources, the struggles are exactly the same.
Yes.
So I get it. I hear you, I see you, I want to help you. And that is why we use our platforms to do whatever we can in this space to help those people that may not have the voice or the opportunities or the resources that we have because of the opportunities that we have.
Yeah, yeah.
So clearly absolutely. You were one of the advocates that Lizzo had missing from the stage at People's Choice Awards when she gave a shout out. She said, I can't accept this. Here's the people that you really need to congratulate. And there was so much representation from mm-hmm. every single marginalized community, mm-hmm. but disability. There was no one from a disability standpoint. And so right. often that is excluded from the conversation. So, and she started, and why it was an extraordinary act, what she did by even like having that, using her platform. Mm-hmm. She said exactly that. It's not about having the platform. It's what you do with the platform you have. Mm-hmm. And those that can do is what needs to be done. Like, you're doing that and we're doing that. Like, that's very, very commendable. And, but you're so right. The other nuances of it, that doesn't disappear. There's challenges.
No. Absolutely. So it doesn't matter where you're from.
We're all human. I think that's at the end of the day. We're all human. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, how incredible, Renee, that, like Gina's saying, you have, you know, taken a talent that you both have and you were able to get into the professional world and then you had children and you have, three incredible children, one of them being special needs, and you've used that. You've used your platform to talk about it, to make it accessible to people, to help to change this, you know, not just this country, but all countries and the face of what invisible
behaviors,
disabilities
and
look
environments.
Like, you know? Yeah, absolutely. So that is commendable in itself. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. And I appreciate that. And I hope that definitely doesn't come across we're definitely not after validation or credit or any of that stuff. But for me, it's just, and look, I'm not even the one with the profile. Joe's the one with the profile. But I think from my point of view, it's just, I want your everyday person that is dealing with the day-to-day struggle to understand that I am there with you in the trenches, mm-hmm. dealing with all those same day-to-day struggles. And it is hard, really, really hard work. And I also think that Joe and I are a small part of, like, I just feel like so many people, so many people aren't public about the struggles that they're going through. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I'm trying to say, is that Joe and I are not alone in the struggles that we're going through in our professions, in our world, or any of that as well. But I think it's really important that we talk about it.
Yeah. 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 That's the beautiful part about it, is that you are choosing to talk about it and to share that with the world, where you could just be quiet and you could go on about your lives and not have it be known and not, you know, be the people who are trying to help make a difference in this world. So
that's how you transform stigmas.
Yeah.
And also the whole not seeking that, you know, that's one of the distinctions of people who are truly doing things to serve others, is that you don't want the validation. And I totally 100% get that. It's so awkward when people thank me for doing something that I want to do. I'm like, you know, I know I need to learn to be more graceful about it. Like, you should, everybody should, especially if someone's genuinely doing it, obviously. But I think it always feels awkward because that isn't truly why you're doing it. That's not why you're doing it, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and don't you agree? I feel like the two of you would probably agree with me in that the work that people see you do and thank you for is so wonderful, but it's actually the conversations that you have with your girlfriends on the couch or another special needs parent, mm-hmm. of the stuff that no one else sees or even knows about, is where the true validation comes from.
Yeah,
it's stuff that no one else understands.
Those moments of an encounter with somebody at the park, or at the grocery store, or wherever it might be, and you are able to validate their situation and to be there for them. That is always what fills the cup. You know, that super personal experience with people, with others in this community. So.
You're so right about that. That's our origin story. You know, we found each other on the internet. We never met in person. And then we got on a Marco Polo chat, and then all of a sudden the skies opened up. And then we were like oversharing, you know, we felt like you could say the things that you would never say before, or you couldn't just say to anyone, all of a sudden you're just like, I mean, we are just letting it all hang out there. Yeah. And then it was like, oh God, it was just
how
like,
good do you feel when you do that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so good. It's so good.
Yes.
Even people listening to this right now, while they're sitting in their cars, they're like, I wish I was just sitting in the room with them right now.
Yes. Okay. So Renee, I have to ask then, how do we come into the Joe Renee story, Jacob story with Culture City? How did that come about? You guys are professional athletes, so you have worked in arenas that are huge. You've seen I'm sure different things and had different experiences, but how did Culture City come into your path? And maybe a little backstory for those of our audience that don't know exactly what Culture City is.
Yeah, so Culture City was founded back in 2009 by Julian Maha and Michelle Kong, a wonderful couple now that I call family. They have two beautiful boys of their own, one whom is on the spectrum and is nonverbal, and that is where Culture City came from. Basically, they felt, and this is exactly the same experience that Joe and I had, and I'm sure you as well, and the people that are listening, is that as soon as there was a diagnosis, we withdrew from the community.
Yeah.
All of a sudden in my mind and on paper, I had all of these things that we'd love to do, but I couldn't do because I didn't know, one, if Jacob would cope, if we would cope as a family, if Jacob wasn't coping, would other people be able to cope with him in these environments? We withdrew. And when we got the call from Culture City to meet with them it was about a month before the pandemic hit. So it was February 2020. Julian told me a little bit about the work they were doing with Culture City. And honestly, I didn't know a huge amount about them. However, I knew that Joe and I were really passionate about this space and that I would love to meet with them to see what they do, how we could add value to what they do. They had a really cool lineup of board members. So I was like, okay, they must be doing something pretty good here. And as soon as I got into a room with Julian and Michelle and the other board members, I was sold. It was such a passionate group of diverse individuals from all over with different backgrounds, different experiences with sensory accessibility and inclusion and sensory issues and needs, that I feel like Joe and my purpose, especially in this world, really started to line up for us and come to life and fill our cup, essentially, like what you spoke about. Mm-hmm. And over that 3 years, our journey with Culture City has just grown and grown and grown, as Culture City has. I just think more people know what Culture City is now. I think I like to tell people when they say, what does Culture City really do? I say there's nothing we can't do, especially in the invisible disability space. What do you need? Let's make it happen. We are solution focused, not problem focused. And at the end of the day, we want individuals and families to not have to withdraw from their community, but to be out there with everybody else enjoying their community, their museums, their aquariums, their sporting events, experiences, airports, their touch base with first responders. Mm-hmm. All of the things that we go through in our daily living, individuals with invisible disabilities should be given the same opportunities to experience just like everyone else, as are their families, because that's what I felt as well. Not only was Jacob missing out on these experiences, but so were my other two kids because we were withdrawing. Yeah. So for me, it's about getting people out of the safety of their homes and into spaces and places and people that include them for who they are and celebrate them for who they are, and that everyone can belong wherever that is in the community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, so incredible. I love it. Jean, you want to say something? Yeah, it is.
It is the most powerful messaging. And that needs to be so pervasive throughout the world. That's the pervasive juice that needs to be spread everywhere in the messaging. And I've always said that it's not the grief, a lot of the grief around things is not necessarily, it's not, again, it's not the diagnosis itself. It's a lack of accessibility to things. Mm-hmm. You increase the accessibility, everybody is happy and everybody wins here, because there's nothing that has ever been done for the disability community that has not benefited the general population. Right. It's we all benefit from modifications around the world. Every single human being does, and no one has any idea where it was sourced from. And I will tell you, the majority of the time, it's through innovation, through those with disabilities. Mm-hmm. And
education, you know, that's the key thing too, especially with these individuals.
Accessibility,
invisible.
Accessibility, understanding,
yes.
And just an appreciation. I say this all of the time. It's actually not even whether you have an invisible disability or not. I just think everyone, as a human, as an individual, deserves the opportunity to be celebrated for mm-hmm. who they truly, authentically are, and to have their experiences the way that they're meant to have their experiences. I just think some of the times we've got it backwards. I think we talk about Jacob and what his challenges are and things that he can't do or can't attend, or things that he might not be able to be or deal with or cope with. And I want to turn that around and say, I want to see the world the way Jacob does, because mm-hmm. the way that he sees it is far more beautiful than a lot of people that I've crossed paths with. But I want the same for my daughter, Miller, and I want the same for my son, Jack. I want all of them to be able to be who they are. And me, as an adult, I don't cope with everything well all of the time, and I want to be safe in that space as well. I think it's just Jacob has given us the platform to be able to say that and do that and essentially have credibility behind these messages, and I don't think that should be the way, but I'm happy to use it because that is the way, if that makes sense. It starts the conversation. It starts the storytelling and
starts the change.
The change. It's about the change.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What you said so much is about the similar messaging that, I know Meg's not on the board, but she was hired by Culture City. So Meg Raby, the author of My Brother Otto, do you have mm-hmm. the Otto books? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the whole thing is just, you know, seeing the world through Otto's eyes and letting Otto enjoy the world the way he wants to enjoy the same, you know, a similar experience that others are having, but just in his own way. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I think mm-hmm. that messaging is just so aligned with your own personal vision that's also adopted through this vision or grander vision through Culture City. You know, that's just super powerful.
Yeah. And at Culture City, our tagline is making the nevers possible. Yes. And that's what it's all about. And it does, people say, well, what are the nevers? And I say, well, what do you want them to be? Because
you know why why they do that is because they don't know. I don't know if you had this experience, so let us know if you did. But I think a lot of people thought, oh, well, you have the diagnosis, so you got everything you need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like people, you
like we talked about earlier,
perception,
yes.
Yeah, right. Those perception, that's the perception that people have. Like, mm-hmm. did you get that? You know, how did you get a lot of, because you had a lot of people who did not think there was anything going on with him. And when mm-hmm. you finally got that affirmation that it was, yes, for sure, that or confirmation that he has autism, like, what did that do to those relationships of those?
Well, I can say that on a more public platform, having an autism diagnosis and being financially stable because of Joe's job, people assume that we're okay, that everything's okay because we have the money to pay for the autism diagnosis mm-hmm. and get the resources that we need. But just like everyone mm-hmm. else, we have insurance battles. We have two very different systems to deal with in Australia and the United States. It's two very different platforms. Australia are a lot further behind in terms of autism and autism services, and compared to here, and then insurances work really differently, all of those things. In terms of the individuals that throughout the process said, you're fine, just wait, stop comparing the two, I think that everyone is exactly the same the day before diagnosis as the day after for us, incredibly supportive. We are really lucky with the family and friends and support networks that we have around us, and I'll say that till the day I die. We are so incredibly lucky with the support that we do have. However, what I would say, or in hindsight, what I would say, or if someone came to me and maybe I didn't feel like, you know, because I think that people think because I have an autistic child that I could diagnose their child with autism. Do you get that? Do you get that? Like,
yes.
Or do you think my child could be autistic because you know what autism looks like? And I'm like, autism is so no different. Two individuals yes. that you will meet present the same when it comes to, which is why it's a spectrum. However, that's getting a little bit off topic. But what I would say that if you are a friend or a supporter or a colleague or a family member of someone who is talking about their child or their sister or brother or whatever it is that feels like they may be having some challenges and that there may be something there, listen. Mm-hmm. Listen and support that. I wish the people around me had said, okay, you're feeling all of these things. I don't want to be told that nothing's wrong because I knew in my gut that something was wrong. Yeah. But how do I best support you in going through this? Or how do I ask you more questions to help? Or how do I just sit here and listen to the worries that you're having? Because that, whilst I didn't lose anyone in that process, and people were incredibly supportive, especially once we started the process, I think the initial questions that I had, I needed validation for.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
And
go ahead, Jean.
That was such an important nuance, like it's mm-hmm. message. Like even think about that, you know, the automatic response is that people assume that we don't want that to be. They, you know, that the wiring, you know, the mentality mm-hmm. around it is that, oh, you don't, no, you know, it is actually good intentioned because I had that experience too. There was difference. There was some people that were saying absolutely not, and other people that were like, you know, being more observational. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. And this is why. And it was because they thought that that's what I, or that we wanted or needed to hear, you know? And so it became really, it became confusing. You didn't realize that you're confusing yourself. And so that's one thing, is that you didn't abandon yourself. You still mm-hmm. followed your instinct and you moved over to another doctor and got that. So I know we cycled back to that, but I just think,
well, that I was I just like really that curious. All cycles about. Back into the conversation that we were having earlier as well, in that that is the issue in the inclusion and disability space. Mm-hmm. We're all too scared to have the hard conversation,
yes,
the uncomfortable conversation. And that's where accessibility comes and circles back around in here, and the work we're doing with Culture City is that our training helps employees or first responders,
yeah,
whatever it is in all of the training that we can do, it helps you ask the right questions. It helps you yeah. feel okay being in the uncomfortable, seeing the uncomfortable, experiencing the uncomfortable, and feeling okay in that. And how can I help that individual, that person, myself, all of that? That is the reason that I wouldn't take my son Jacob to a stadium. Not because I'm necessarily worried about, I'm not worried about the judgment. I'm not necessarily worried about how he will or won't cope, because I know that I can help him in all of those instances. But I don't know how other people are going to cope if he's not coping. Mm-hmm. The people sitting around us in our seats, or a worker that's seeing him have a meltdown, or a security guard that as we walk through security wants to take his device or his iPad off him. Can you help me explain to him that you will get it back on the other side of security? It's a whole chain of events that come into getting off my couch and going to experience something as a family that just has extra worry because I have a child with sensory needs and issues. which is where the education piece comes back, which is where it comes back to be uncomfortable, feeling uncomfortable, asking the uncomfortable, and helping someone else, which helps me.
Yeah.
Does that make sense, or did I just gibber?
No.
100%.
Because you just even broke down that it takes like 1,000 more steps. And we are also not working on the accommodations of our sons, but we're working on accommodating the other people that need to accommodate my son.
Right.
You know, and it's what's exhausting.
It all circles back around to the education. You know, I think there's, even though autism is much more known now, there's still so many people who are not educated to, you know, to the spectrum and autism and sensory processing disorder, all of the different things. So it is just that going back to that education and for the rest of the world to be comfortable being uncomfortable, you know, because that is the only way we're going to grow as a human being, right? And learn and be able to see from somebody else's perspective or from their, you know, from their lens. So,
and let's just say, like, we're not, as three mums sitting here having a chat, we're not asking everybody to become experts on autism or experts on living with autism. That's not what this is about either. That expectation isn't there, but it is about learning a little bit more, I guess, and not just about autism, but about invisible disabilities and sensory needs, and especially from venues, a medical provider, first responders, you know, event spaces, whatever it is, the list goes on and on and on, is that our training that we do and provide is not incredibly hard to understand. It's easy to complete. It can all be done online, easy to understood, and then easy to apply.
Yes.
And it's not hugely going to change your day doing the training, but it's going to change mine when I bring my son into your world.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, chills. So I have to ask with that. So, you know, because I think a lot of people in this community are like, how can I get involved? How can I better advocate, not just for my child, but what can I do to get involved in these different spaces and places? And Culture City is not this magic unicorn up here that you can't, that any person can get involved with, right? And whether that's, you know, through donating or volunteering or even taking the steps to make somewhere that you spend a lot of time in, you know, for my husband and I, that's my husband being a first responder and making sure that his department is certified and inclusive and has a better understanding of disabilities and those especially of invisible disabilities, so that they can better handle situations. Yeah. So how does that look for the average mom
person.
Or dad or person?
Well, I think first and foremost is what a wonderful, okay, I need to premise that. I was about to say what a wonderful world we live in where we have social media, but I have real mixed feelings around that too. And I know that you do, Tash, so I can say that. Social media is this wonderful platform that connects people. And that's what I love about it. There can be a lot of good in that. There can also be, it can also be toxic in the same sentence. Yes. But I do think in terms of social media connection and Culture City and telling the story, because I think that's what brings us together, right? Storytelling. That's what connects you and I and your sons and your kids to my kids and my son and my story and my journey. And Culture City is storytelling. That means connection. Culture City will always give you that, especially through our Make the Nevers Possible program. But in terms of being involved, I think the best thing that people can do is head to our website, because it's not a one-stop shop at Culture City. There's so many different ways you can learn, be involved, donate, you can run for Culture City. There's so many different ways that you can give back, and there's so many different people involved in doing that you can give as little or as much as you want in terms of financially, but just in terms of time and resources and passion. And that's what we're about at Culture City. So I urge everyone to head to the website just to first and foremost learn more, because that's what this is about. And we can be a resource for people that want to help another, or we can also, of course, be a resource for those people that are on this journey with invisible disability and sensory needs. And that does not just mean autism. So if you are someone who are tuning into this, sensory needs and invisible disability can mean so many different things. It's autism, ADHD, dementia, mental illness. There's a list that goes on and on and on. So no one's left out.
Yes. And also, I just found this out the other day. How did I not know this? You guys have an app. So for any of our audience out there, anybody out there, it's as easy as getting onto your Android or your Apple, uploading Culture City app, and then it will show you anywhere within your area that is Culture City sensory inclusive, whether it's the zoo or a stadium or a library, whatever it might be, which is so incredible.
Airport, first responders, all of that stuff. And mid-year, we're going to have some very, very exciting app announcements for you, and even more that the app can do, and resources that it will be for people dealing with all things invisible disability and sensory needs. So I can't wait for all of that to be in all of our hot little hands to use and have as a resource as well.
I love it. I love it. Okay, you guys, we should wrap this up. But Jean, anything else you wanna?
No, because we'll keep talking, because this is the vortex. First off,
I feel like that just went in a blink and an eye.
I know.
It did. But
it's a vortex, and it's almost like she's like, you know, the new mom in our group, and we need to know everything. and we just don't have enough time for that. But it's just not, this is not goodbye or the end. This is now beginning of a, you know, our relationship with you. And so I really appreciate the time. Like our time, all of our time is so, so valuable, and it's, you know, not, you know, we usually have these little windows and pockets of time to do this. So it is really precious. And thank you for being such a champion and ambassador. Like, I'm glad that what's awesome is when you're not tied to a governmental agency like I am, and I serve on a school board, you are serving on a nonprofit board, and you don't have as much red tape, and you could just be like, I can speak on behalf. And so I was like, oh, I love this. Let's go. Let's do this.
Oh, I love that. And I really appreciate you having me on. I honestly feel like we just scratched the surface in things and could talk about. So I have loved being welcomed into your mum's group, and we'll come back anytime to discuss big and little issues, because I could talk about autism and invisible disabilities and the work that needs to be done in that space forever and ever and ever. And if there's one thing that anyone takes from this podcast from me, is that autism coming into my life and our family's life has been the absolute biggest blessing to us ever. And I wouldn't change it for the world. And the way that it has changed me as a person and us as our family is something that I would never, ever want taken away. So if you're someone that is early into this journey, embrace it for all of the hard, but all of the wonderful moments as well, because there are plenty of those as well.
Yes.
It's a blessing.
Yes. Amen. Very well.
Amen. Girlfriend, very let me well tell said you, that is the best advice, because we do have so many so many newer families on their journey, and it's scary, and it's daunting, and you know, we get into our head, and all we see is sometimes that of the hard and the bad and the negative, but it is such a blessing. It's such a blessing to have these people in our life who are changing this world, and who are changing our perspective, and, you know, their classmates' perspective, and everywhere, just changing the world. So super grateful you shared that, Renee.
Well, we do still have to peek it. And one of the reasons
Peak reasons of why.
Oh,
Tosh is in charge of the jingle, and the jingle changes every single time.
I'm not a singer, but you know, I like to pretend.
The one that is the singer is always too shy to sing.
Right.
So, yeah. But Tosh's middle name is not shy. It's tenacious.
Tenacious Tosh. There we go.
She is.
I feel like I should be part of that one. What's the actor? Tenacious D. What's his name?
Jack Black.
Jack Black.
Oh my God.
Part of his career.
I love him. Oh my gosh, I love him so much.
All right.
I'll go first.
Go first, yes.
Go ahead first. Jane. So yes. It gives you some idea. So I'm having, you know, a little bit of respite this week, kind of. Well, it's a mixed bag, but my mother-in-law is here, okay? And she said, make sure that I get a shout out on the peak of the week because your mother-in-law came here just sweeping your floors. And she's also wiping down your cabinets. And she looks up at me while she's literally underneath me, while I'm in the kitchen. And she goes, I want you to know, I'm not judging you while I'm doing this. I just have OCD. You know this.
Yeah. You got to love a parent or an in-law with ADHD and OCD. Okay. Come on.
So I knew also that Josh would completely appreciate that.
Thank you, Lauren. Thank you. We are shouting you out from the rooftops. You are the mother-in-law.
So go ahead, Renee. You have something like that, even if the Airbnb has a maid service or something. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
Yes. Its name is Renee.
Yeah. There she is.
Check off the list all the things she is right now.
Oh, gosh. This is something that normally in my normal circle of friends here, my wonderful Bucks group of friends that I'd probably wouldn't feel safe sharing. But I feel like with you guys and with your listeners that this was a small peak in my week that brings a lot of joy to a family like mine, right? So Joe for the last month has been on the road for what has felt to me forever. So I feel like I'm really single mumming life at the moment. But he's home for a couple of days this week. And I had said to him, we've fallen into this trap, especially after COVID, of our kids just being on technology way too often, okay? And I've got the kids on my own all of the time. Technology for Jacob is a real, it's the most wonderful thing in the world, honestly, as a parent, because it's a real safe haven for him. It's a real regulator for him, whilst I hate saying that, but technology for him is just his thing. And I think before I had kids and before I had a child with special needs, or with a special need, I used to always say, my kids will not be on technology. My kids will not be eating chicken nuggets. All you know, I was one of those moms. Yeah, right. That was, it really is a comedy show, all of the things that I thought I was going to be as a parent and that I'm not. However, I had said to Joe, I just really at meal time, I want to try and get Jacob off his iPad and just to engage and connect with us a little bit. But we're really going to have to start small here. Mm-hmm. So last night for dinner, we ordered McDonald's because Jacob will not eat any other nugget from anywhere else. It has to be McDonald's nuggets. And that is it. So we ordered McDonald's nuggets and pizza for my other two children because they don't want to eat McDonald's nuggets and mum can't be bothered cooking. And we set up the whole dinner table and we had the McDonald's and all of these things ready to get Jacob off his iPad. And I set up, you know, the visual timer so that he could see you don't have to sit with your family for long, but just until the little robot guy pops up on the visual timer, okay? And I had everything set up for absolute success and it just did not go very successfully at all last night. It was pretty horrific, but we sat through the screaming and the throwing and the wanting the iPad and all of that stuff. And what my husband, I hope I'm not going to get in trouble for this, but it really was my peak of the week. Joe got a pickle out of his son, out of Jack's hamburger and stuck it on his head, right? So you had this pickle leaking with McDonald's juice on it down his forehead and all of the kids thought it was the funniest thing. And Jacob, we literally sat there for 9 minutes whilst the timer went because we couldn't make it 10 because Jacob said he's not sitting there for 10 minutes. So for 9 minutes, the kids sat there laughing at the fact that Joe had a pickle stuck on his head and there was no technology, no devices. And I was crying with laughter, trying really hard not to get my own technology device out to photograph this historic family moment that we were having. Anyway, the timer goes off. We go, congratulations, Jacobs. Thank you so much for sitting with us and blah, blah, blah. And then tonight the timer goes to 11 minutes and just every night we're going to increase it and really make this a family dinner thing. And we will get there. It's just a long, slow, arduous, relentless task, like you know. But Joe takes a pickle off his head and for the next 3 hours he has like a pickle rash on his forehead.
Oh, because of the acid from the...
pickle. And all night got to giggle away at the pickle rash that was on an NBA player's forehead.
I love it. Joe, you came in strong, brother.
Trying to do a technology-free dinner, which is so ridiculous. Oh, but honestly, God. I think sometimes we just forget to laugh, honestly, in the chaos of life and family and young kids and autism and all of the things. And last night I had the best belly laughs with my kids because of a pickle rash. So there it is.
I love
it.
My pick. That is dopamine hit and a cortisol release.
Oh my gosh. So good. So good. And all of the things in it. Don't we know? Yep. Chicken nuggets only from here. Yep. Solo parenting. Yep. iPads at the dinner table. Oh my goodness. Mm, let me tell you. I love it, Renee. I love it. Okay, mine is going to be since we're launching this this week, I'm just going to be able to tell everybody. I am so excited to say I will be in Arizona this weekend at the Super Bowl working for Culture City, or not working, excuse me, volunteering. I am so excited. When this is launching, Renee is that coming weekend. So
that is so exciting. I'm so excited. So happy for you. I'm hoping to be there too, which is probably further from my reality, but I'm hoping as well. So if I am there, then we are absolutely connecting this week.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. So exciting. So exciting. Okay. You guys, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being on. Renee, all the things.
All the thank yous. Right back at you.
All the love, all the like, thank you for getting on and representing Culture City and sharing with us the incredible, scratching the surface of the incredibleness of Culture City, also your family and your story. And we will absolutely have you on again and go deeper. Tell us where we can find you. Tell us where we can find Culture City.
Yes, you can find me on Instagram at Renee Ingalls, and Culture City is at Culture City on Instagram as well. But the best resource that you can have in your hand is the Culture City app, which you can download, or also just head to the website at culturecity.org. It is an incredible place to really feel like you're at home. I'm so glad that Culture City and the Ingalls crossed paths and will be in each other's lives forever.
Yeah.
You all, I already feel like we're besties, that we could sit and have a cuppa and talk all day. So thank you so much for having me on the podcast. And I absolutely love and adore all of the wonderful work and messages that you're putting out into the community. So keep doing what you're doing. Love it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I will never look at a pickle the same way. I love pickles. I love pickles. And I have a secret. I like to drink pickle juice. It's like a...
Ew.
Don't drink much of it though. Then it will come.
It was something like during pregnancy that happened. I don't know, and I'm not pregnant anymore. Obviously, that shop is shut down. But I'm just saying.
I actually thought that was going to be Tasha's peak a minute ago. I'm like, I don't know her well enough. Is she about to tell me that she's pregnant?
No.
Oh, no. Yeah.
The way you're both laughing.
We're in trouble. We are in big trouble. If I am.
Anybody, any one of us, if we're there, we were with child right now. Where, what did Tosh likes to say in her story? What did you say? What was your story when I came, when I fell into being pregnant?
Oh, you fell pregnant. You fell pregnant. You fell pregnant. Which I was watching a lot of Bridgerton at the time, Renee. Come on.
When I fell
you
pregnant.
Very British way to say it.
I was like done. I was like, I couldn't wait for her to have a break in her story to be like,
you guys, how did one fall pregnant? We have to shut this down. Okay. You guys, everybody in this in the Moms Talk Autism audience, thank you so much. Thank you, the community. Follow us on Instagram at Moms Talk Autism. If you have something lovely to say, you can reach out at hello@momstalkautism.com and leave us a 5-star review because it's how we can reach more people. Thank okay. You. Love y'all. Catch you on the flip side.
Woo!
Bye.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.